Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We're going to begin this evening in chapter 19. And so if you're taking a look at your study guide, you'll see that we've got the first two verses together. So I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 together. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.
So after Babylon's fall, which is a certain thing, John hears a loud voice in heaven, and this voice is sounds coming from many people. And they're saying, Alleluia, which means praise ye Jah, praise the Lord. And the salvation, glory, and honor, and power to our God, because his judgments are true and just. Now, you see this often in here where he's using the word prostitute, the great prostitute who ruined the earth with her harlotries has been judged. And here again, this is an epithet, or he's speaking, maybe talking metaphorically, however you want to say it. But he's not talking about a person here. He's talking about a system, okay? And we've established, I believe, that the system is an ecclesiastical system that has interacted with people all over the earth and seduced people. And because of that, God is avenging the blood of his servants at her hand, because it was the system that has killed so many of God's people, murdered them, because deception doesn't like truth, you know? And so when people start standing up, and God's people I'm talking about, they stand up and they start telling the truth, then the devil's group will do everything they can to take them out. And this is what you've seen over the years with this Catholic Church, as they stand up and try to make the righteous and the just and the faithful, those following the Word of God, they try to make them out the liars. And that's why they killed the Christians that were getting the Bible into the English language, but not using the Latin language to translate. So they started killing them, because these translators found out that the Latin had mistranslated the Bible. And so now in this revelation, he's seeing Babylon, the prostitute, getting a just recompense in that it's destroyed. God has not forgotten what they've done to his saints, to his prophets, to his people.
Verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever.
I'm telling you, when the enemy goes down, it's time to praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know it. Because when the Lord's come to your rescue and delivered you from adverse circumstances, it's a time to praise the Lord. That's what they're doing. They're praising the Lord here for him giving just retribution to the system.
And the 24 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia.
Remember the 24 elders? Remember those four creatures? They're falling down. They're giving thanks and praise to God, giving honor to him. You know, as they says, Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then praise the Lord again. Alleluia, right?
And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great.
Now, this voice that comes from the throne actually is saying, Praise God, all you slaves, not just servants, but this is identifying to people who have given themselves over to the Lord, made Him their master. And so he says, praise God, all you who have made the Lord your master, if I can say it that way. Those who fear Him, both small and great.
In verses 6 and 7, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready."
And so there's a sound that John hears, and he says it's like a great multitude, and this sound is similar to much water. If you've ever heard like a tremendous waterfall, for instance, Niagara Falls or something, it's almost a deafening sound, it's so loud, or he compares it to a powerful thunder. And this is what he's hearing is, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because the God of us, the omnipotent, reigns. The all-powerful God. God has proved His power in that He's destroyed the system, okay? And he goes on to say, be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Now listen to this. Because the marriage of the Lamb has arrived. It's time for the Lamb to get married. Just keep that in mind, okay? Because we're going to give you a little different twist on this, as who the wife is, all right? And it says, the wife has prepared herself, okay? So, the wife or the bride is prepared to get married to the Lamb, all right?
"And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints."
Follow the text. The wife was permitted to array herself in magnificent, clean linen. Now listen, the linen is the righteousness of the saints. This is the bridal gown. Okay? Just keep that in mind.
"And he said to me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God."
Now here again, look at the terminology. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding dinner for the Lamb. The one who spoke said this statement is true. Back many, many years ago, I walked in a place, a business, and the owner asked me, who are the guests at the marriage of the Lamb? I never thought about it. Okay? But I'm going to tell you who the guests are before this is over. Okay? Because I believe the Scripture's clear on it. Okay? So I'll hold you in suspense for a little while.
Okay. "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, See that you do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
Now look closely at this and the terminology. John falls at the feet of the one who's speaking to him for the purpose of worshiping him. Now, through the King James Version, it keeps calling this angel, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But now look at it. He said, "Do not worship me. I am a fellow slave and brother." That means that he's somebody that's passed on before, right? Not an angel, but a messenger. And so this should have been translated messenger. He said, "I'm a fellow slave and brother who has the witness or testimony of Jesus." He said, worship God. Now listen to this. Because the testimony or the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is what gives life to prophecy. If you take Jesus out of it, you have no life to the prophecy. The prophecy is about Jesus. All these things is culminating to this end. Remember, this is a revelation of Jesus. And so, prophecy, the witness of Jesus is what gives life, makes the prophecy come alive. This is a good gauge. When you hear people supposedly prophesy, is it alive? Is it alive? If it's of the Spirit of Jesus, it'll be alive. Otherwise, it may tickle your fancy, but really not be the truth. Okay?
Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war.
Now, here again, you see an epithet of Jesus. When John, he sees a white horse, the rider, trustworthy and truthful. Those are two names for Jesus, okay? Trustworthy and truthful. And then he goes on to say, with fairness, he judges and engages in battle. He's not doing anything unjust. Everything that he's done here as far as the opposition of the enemy and his destroying the enemy, it's all been a righteous judgment. When God executes judgment, it's righteous. It's because the person or people deserved what they got. Okay?
Verses 12 and 13. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Right. Obviously, we know who this rider is, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The rider is Jesus, eyes like a blazing fire. You remember Revelation chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, on his head many crowns. Now, to me, this is significant because he has defeated all the opposition that came up against him. Now, you'll find in even in biblical days, David's a good example. By defeating a particular nation, a particular king, they take the crown off of that king and put it on David's head. In other words, you defeat the king, you get the crown. On his head were many crowns showing his victories, his many victories over this. Nobody can defeat the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then it talks about his clothing dipped in blood. We know what that's all about, don't we? And then his name goes back to what it was at creation, the Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Okay.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Now remember this clean and white. These armies in heaven are clothed in linen that's clean and white, and they're riding on white horses, and they're following the Word of God. Okay?
And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to a house. I came to bring a sword to the house. So what's coming out of his mouth? It's not, here again, this is metaphorically, the weapon coming out of his mouth is his word.
Mm-hmm.
With his word, he takes you down. Or with his word, he can raise you up. You understand? And so, he is ruling, shepherding, tending the sheep with a rod of iron. That just simply means the rod being the scepter. That means that it's not flexible. You with me? There's no vote on his decisions. What he says goes. He's trying to get that established in our hearts now. It's called the kingdom of God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He trampled the wine vat of the passion of Almighty God's wrath. In other words, they're thrown in, and he is the one who's executing the vengeance on the people. Now, his vengeance is different than our vengeance. Remember, he says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. When we want to take vengeance, then we're doing it out of the flesh. When he takes vengeance, he's doing it out of righteousness. He is giving the person what they earned.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted this, this is what you got. But he'll do it now, it says, in the fierceness of his wrath. We can have the peace of God, or we can incur the wrath of God. The choice is ours by the decisions we make of whether or not we follow him.
Verse 16. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
King of Kings. Defeated all of them. Lord of Lords. There's no one higher in authority than the Lord Jesus Christ, supreme in authority.
Amen. Verses 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.
And so an invitation is being given, calling all the birds of the air. All right, come get ready. We're getting ready to give you a feast, a dinner of dinners, okay? And here's what it'll be. The great God prepared this. You're going to get to eat the flesh of kings and these commanders and powerful men. You're going to get to eat the flesh of horses and their riders, free men, slaves, small and great. You're going to have all you want to eat. Okay? So he's calling them.
Verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army.
So what's he saying? These kings of the earth, these armies of these kings that have come to make war with me, they'll all be killed. And then you can go ahead and eat the carcasses. You understand what he's saying? Okay.
And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning, of fire burning with brimstone.
That verse 19 is probably referring to Revelation 16:16, Armageddon, where all these kings gather up to fight against the Lord. And so this is where the pronouncement is made. And then it says this dangerous animal and the false prophets who had performed all these supernatural miracles and things in the presence is captured. And because he deceived these people with all these miracles and deceived them into taking the mark of the beast, and so both this dangerous animal and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake that burns with sulfur. That's what brimstone is, the sulfur, okay?
And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
So the remaining army is not cast into the lake of fire at this time, but they're killed with the sword that's proceeding out of the mouth of Jesus. He's the one sitting on the horse. And all the birds of the sky are filled with their flesh. You understand? This is a prophecy being for you guys come in, I'm going to feed you. So they go in and they get fed. Okay?
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand.
Now, this is noteworthy. It's not Jesus, it's not God, but it's a messenger, an angel that comes down from heaven, and he chains Satan. You understand? And he puts him in the bottomless pit or abyss. Now, I'm ahead of myself, but you go ahead and read the next verse.
And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
So he takes hold of this serpent, or the primeval snake, all the way back to the garden. Okay? And then he identifies it. Who is Satan, the devil, and bound him for 1,000 years. Okay? Serpent, snake, Satan, devil. Yes, he didn't use the word Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lucifer wasn't in the Hebrew. Lucifer's a Latin word. And that doesn't say that. It's just a mistranslation there. A purposeful mistranslation, I might add. Okay? The 1,000 years. You probably heard of millennial or millennium. Some companies are using that name, which is simply by definition, millennial or millennium, you're talking about 1,000 years. So Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And then Jesus is ruling with a rod of iron. In other words, it's whatever Jesus says, that's what's going. You with me? Now, why is Satan bound? I don't know. Why didn't he just get cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet? God's smarter than I am. And so for 1,000 years, Jesus is ruling on earth, and Satan is not deceiving anybody. Now that would be like utopia, wouldn't it? But keep reading.
Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season.
After this 1,000 years is up, Satan is going to be loosed again for a short season. We don't know how long, it's just a short season, okay?
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
So what John sees is thrones and judgments given to those that sit. No, this is not talking about the Father and Jesus. This is talking about someone else, okay? And those who had been beheaded because of their witness for Jesus and the Word of God, note this, lived and reigned with Christ 4,000 years. These witnesses had not worshipped a dangerous animal or his image, neither had they received a mark in the forehead. Now, Jesus told his apostles that, you know, Peter's asking, you know, well, we forsake all, what's in it for us, is my paraphrase. And he said they would sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so there's thrones set up, there's judgment given, and for 1,000 years, just like Jesus is using ministers to get his word out, he will be using special ones to give his judgment out, to rule in the earth for this 1,000 years. They will be assisting him, cabinet members, if I can say it that way. You follow where I'm coming from? Okay. I guess that would be the Supreme Court, then.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Now, the rest of the dead. There, if you look at John, the 5th chapter, actually verses 28 and 29, it talks about two resurrections. A resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. In the first resurrection that we've talked about, blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection on whom the second death has no power. But that's the resurrection of the just. The rest of the dead haven't been resurrected. The unjust. Okay?
Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, that they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Now here again, he talks about ruling. They'll be priests with God and they'll rule with him during this 1,000-year period, those who share in the first resurrection, okay? And they will not experience second death. And we're going to have second death spelled out to us as exactly what it is right here in this 20th chapter. Okay? So there won't be any second guessing.
Okay. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison.
So the devil's loose from his prison. 1,000 years up, he's loose. Now what's he going to do?
And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea.
Now, so he's loosed and he's going to go north, south, east, and west. He's going to get all the earth covered, right? To deceive the people that have been ruled in righteousness. Now, this is an incredible thing to me.
Yeah.
That just shows you the power of this deception. Jesus has ruled with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Now, Satan's going to come out and tell them how bad they have it. And so they're going to gather together against God. Now, if you note this, did you say Gog and Magog?
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
I said Gog and Magog.
You said Gog and Magog.
Okay.
All right. I want us to look at this, all right? Because there's prophecies going out right now. And this right here is going to show that those prophecies can't be true. Okay? And so if you look at Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 1, and if you look at also verse 11.
Mine is 2, verse... Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I was in chapter 38. And therefore, thou son of God, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal.
That'll be verse 11.
And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamgog, Hamangog.
Now this says, after being released from the 1,000 years imprisonment, Satan's going to go out and deceive all races. And he will deceive both Gog, who's the ruler, and Magog, which is the land he rules. So when you see Gog and Magog, he's talking about the ruler and the land he rules. And so he's going out to deceive both the ruler and the land, and he will assemble them for war. And the number of these deceived people will be like the sand of the sea. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. They just come out of a millennial reign. Jesus Christ ruling. And that many people being deceived by the devil.
And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Now how are these people destroyed?
God.
By the fire of God coming out of heaven and destroyed. Do you think about this? The number as the sand of the sea? You think about that multitude that's come up against God, and God just sends fire down from heaven to destroy them. I mean, he can be pretty incredible with a lightning storm. You with me?
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Now Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur. Note this, where the dangerous animal and the false prophet are, they're there now. It's not where they used to be. It's not that they're burned up, but that they're still there. And it says he will be tormented day and night perpetually. Okay? Now, don't ask me what the lake of fire is. I don't know, and I'm not wanting to go there. Okay? I'm just telling you that it's not a pleasant place to be. You with me?
Yeah.
Because if the devil's there, I don't want to be there.
Yeah. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Now, you've ever heard people sing about the saints gathering around the great white throne? I don't want to be gathering around that great white throne. No, those saints were resurrected in the first resurrection. And so, what's this great white throne about? This is the judgment for the sinner, for the ungodly. Now, there are several scripture references we can look at here. Psalm 46:6.
The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted.
Remember, heaven and earth ran away?
Yeah.
Then look at Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26.
Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure. Yes, all of them shall wax old like a garment.
Then look at Isaiah 51:6.
Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth, brethren, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished.
And then look at Hebrews 1:10 through 12.
Hebrews 1. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remain, you remain, and they all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shall not, and as a vesture shall you fold them up, and they shall be changed, but you are the same, and your years shall not be.
Then one more reference, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13.
2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
I've had people to tell me they don't believe that the heaven and earth is going to pass away. We just read you all those scriptures showing you that it's in the Word of God.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to stop here and take a break, and we'll pick back up with this later on. And invite you to...